Okay, so I want you to picture a courtroom for a second.
Right.
On the plaintiff's side, sitting there in, you know, a t-shirt and hoodie, we have a company called Geektastic. Their entire reputation, their whole brand, the very hill they've chosen to die on, is built on one belief. Machines are terrible at judging human talent.
Right. They sell the human touch.
Exactly. They have this army of uber geeks, real breathing, coffee drinking humans, who review code because, in their view, an algorithm just can't do it justice.
It's a very specific, almost boutique philosophy. It's arguing for nuance in a world that is just, obsessed with speed. They're basically selling craftsmanship.
Craftsmanship. I like that. But then on the other side of the courtroom, we have the defendant, or I don't know, maybe the partner. It's a tool called Auto Content API.
And that's the polar opposite.
Complete opposite. It is an industrial-grade content engine designed to just flood the internet with AI-generated podcasts, videos, articles. It is the definition of automation at scale.
So the question on the table for this deep dive is, it's pretty sharp. Can a company that sells humanity really get in bed with a machine designed to mimic it?
That is the paradox we are unpacking today. We're looking at documents from Geektastic, a technical assessment platform, and we're putting them side by side with the technical docs for Auto Content API.
To see if these two opposing forces can actually work together.
Yeah. And we aren't just talking about making content. We're talking about fixing broken unit economics, hacking Google's search algorithms, and maybe, just maybe, cloning a CEO's voice.
It sounds like a sci-fi premise, but the business logic here is actually incredibly grounded. It's all about resource allocation.
So let's set the scene with Geektastic. Who are they really? Because looking at their site, they seem to be fighting a very specific battle in the tech hiring war.
They are. Geektastic operates in the technical hiring space. So if you're a company like, say, Compare the Market or Bulb, and you need to hire 50 developers,
That's a huge problem.
it's a massive logistical problem. You get thousands of resumes. You can't possibly interview everyone. So what companies usually do is use automated code tests, write a function that sorts this list.
Right, the standard HackerRank style stuff. It's binary, pass or fail.
Precisely. But Geektastic's whole argument is that those automated tests are deeply flawed. They miss the diamond in the rough, the messy coder who's a brilliant problem solver.
Or they pass the person who writes clean code that just doesn't actually work at scale.
Exactly. So Geektastic's pitch is, we have a community of 26,000 expert developers. We will have a human review that code challenge.
Which is a great value proposition.
Yeah.
We cut time to hire by 50% because we actually read the code.
Yeah.
But I spot a flaw in the business model, like immediately.
It's that.
Humans are expensive. Humans don't scale. If you have 26,000 developers, that's great, but coordinating them must be a nightmare.
And that is the crux of the problem. Geektastic has amazing stories to tell. I was looking at their case study with Bulb, the energy company. By using Geektastic, Bulb saved 58 days of engineering time. That is a massive operational win.
58 days is huge. That's 2 months of salary saved, plus the opportunity cost of having those engineers actually building the product instead of interviewing candidates.
It is. But here's the catch. How do you tell that story? Right now, looking at their materials, that case study is, well, it's probably just a PDF sitting on a website somewhere.
Maybe a text block on a client's page.
Yay.
And let's be honest, nobody really reads PDFs anymore.
No, not really. In the current attention economy, if it's not a video, a podcast, or a snappy LinkedIn post, it effectively doesn't exist.
Right.
But for Geektastic to turn that one PDF into all of those things, they'd need an editorial team for the script, a video editor, an audio engineer, a social media manager.
You're talking thousands of dollars for one story.
Thousands. And weeks of time. This is what the auto content source calls content saturation. The problem isn't distribution. YouTube and Spotify are free. The problem is we don't have the production capacity to fill those channels, not without going bankrupt.
So this is where the robot enters the room, Auto Content API. I was reading through the documentation, and it describes itself as a transformation engine. I want to be clear on this. How does that actually solve Geektastic's problem? Is it just like ChatGPT writing a blog post?
It's significantly more complex than a text generator. Think of it more like a factory line. You feed raw material in one end, in this case, the URL of that Bulb case study.
Okay, so just the web page.
Just the URL, and the API deconstructs it. It identifies the key metrics, 58 days saved, 70 hires made. It extracts the gold.
So it parses the data.
Got it. Then it moves to the synthesis stage, and it doesn't just summarize, it scripts. It writes a script for a 60-second vertical video, you know, optimized for TikTok or LinkedIn.
Right.
It writes a script for a two-host podcast episode debating the merits of that case study. And then, and this is the kicker, it renders those assets.
Wait, wait. It actually makes the video, like an MP4 file ready to upload?
Yes. It pulls stock footage, it overlays the text metrics, it generates the voiceover, and syncs it all together. It renders a full audio podcast with two distinct AI voices, complete with intro music and, you know, proper pacing.
So Geektastic could technically take their entire back catalog of client testimonials,
yeah,
Just Giving, Culture Trip, all of them, and turn them into a multimedia library overnight.
Overnight. And the cost difference is, well, it's logarithmic. The source mentions that outsourcing a podcast costs anywhere from, say, $150 to $500.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Doing it via the API costs about 10 credits.
Which translates to what in real money?
Depending on their subscription plan, it's roughly 10 cents to 2 euros.
That's absurd. That's a 99% reduction in cost.
Yeah.
But does that flood of content actually do anything? Or is it just creating noise?
It changes the strategy completely. You stop thinking, is this story worth spending $500 to tell? And you start thinking, why wouldn't I tell the story if it costs 50 cents? It allows Geektastic to just flood the zone with social proof. And for a B2B company, trust is everything. Seeing a video of a success story is infinitely more powerful than reading a stat on a pricing page.
Okay, so that handles marketing to the clients, the companies paying the bills. Mm-hmm. But Geektastic is a two-sided marketplace. They need clients, but they also need that army of 26,000 developers.
Absolutely.
If the developers leave or get bored, the whole product dies.
Correct. And developers are a notoriously difficult audience to keep engaged. They have very, very high BS detectors, and they're constantly distracted by the next shiny object.
A mental availability, as the marketers call it. It's hard to get real estate in a developer's brain.
Right. But developers do have one weakness. They are terrified of falling behind. The tech stack changes so fast. React updates, new Python libraries, the rise of Rust.
So they need to stay informed. It's almost a career survival mechanism.
See what it is. So how does auto content help here? Geektastic isn't a news organization. They don't have reporters in the field. They don't need them. The auto content API has a specific endpoint called deep research. It's powered by autonomous agents. You can think of them as little digital research assistants.
Okay.
You can point these agents at a topic, say latest trends in Python, and they will browse the live web.
When you say browse, you mean they're actually reading websites?
They're reading documentation, they're reading reputable tech blogs, they're verifying sources, and then they synthesize all of that into a report. But here's the engagement hack.
Mm-hmm.
Geektastic can take that report and automatically convert it into a daily podcast. Let's call it the Uber Geek Daily.
I see. So I'm a developer, I'm commuting to work, and instead of doom scrolling, I can listen to a 10-minute update on what's new in Python, brought to me by Geektastic.
Exactly. And the source documentation highlights something really interesting about the format. It says that multi-speaker dialogue increases retention.
Huh. Okay.
People zone out during a monologue. But if you have two AI hosts, a host and an expert bantering about the new Rust update, it sounds like a radio show. It keeps your brain engaged.
It's sticky.
It's incredibly sticky. And at the end of every single episode, the AI host says, "Think you know your stuff? Go take a Python challenge on Geektastic." It turns passive listeners into active candidates.
It's a flywheel. The conic attracts the talent takes the test, and the test generates revenue.
Mm.
And no human at Geektastic had to write a script or touch a microphone.
It turns them into a media company without the overhead of a media company. It captures that mental availability we were talking about.
I want to pivot to the technical side of marketing for a second.
Uh-huh.
SEO, search engine optimization. Because when I look at Geektastic's site, I see a lot of landing pages. Hire Java developers, hire Python developers, hire Golang developers.
It's a classic structure. But it comes with a classic problem.
Which is?
To Google, those pages look identical. The only thing that changes is the word Java to Python. The layout is the same. The pitch is the same.
That's the thin content penalty, right? Google sees it as low-effort duplication.
Exactly. If you have 50 pages that are 99% the same text, Google's algorithm just suppresses them. It assumes you're spamming.
So how do you fix that without hiring 50 copywriters to write 50 unique essays for every language?
You use multimedia injection. This is one of the smartest applications of the Auto Content API. You can programmatically generate unique video and audio for each of those 50 pages.
Okay, walk me through that. What does the Python page look like versus the Rust page.
Okay, so take the Rust landing page. You use the API to generate a specific deep dive audio track about why Rust is memory safe and why fintech companies are so into it. You embed that player right at the top of the page.
And for the Python page.
You generate a completely different video, maybe one discussing the popularity of the Django framework and data science trends. Now, when Google crawls those pages, it sees unique, rich media on every single one.
It's no longer thin content. It's a resource.
It's a real resource. But does that actually help with ranking? Or does it just, you know, look nice?
That's the question.
It's massive for ranking. The source cites a statistic here. Adding video increases dwell time, the amount of time a user stays on the page.
Right.
And pages with high dwell time are 53 times more likely to rank on page one of Google.
53 times. That seems astronomically high.
It's the single biggest signal Google has that a page is valuable. If people stay to watch the video, Google thinks this is a good result and it moves it up the rankings. Geektastic could essentially dominate the search results for every programming language by automating this richness.
That is the definition of working smarter, not harder. You're literally using the API to signal to Google, hey, this is a high-quality page, but doing it at scale.
And it scales globally, too. Which brings us to another constraint Geektastic has.
Right, they're based in the UK. Their pricing is in pounds. But the source says they have Uber geeks from Argentina to Beijing.
The talent pool is global. The marketing, however, is usually stuck in one language.
I see where you're going with this. Auto content supports 50-plus languages.
This is the global expansion lever. Geektastic has these great guides like how to become an Uber Geek reviewer. It explains the process, the pay 25 cents per review, and all the benefits.
But if that guide is only in English,
yeah,
you're missing out on brilliant coders in Brazil or China who might just prefer their native language.
Exactly. With the API, they can take that English content and instantly transcode it. And I'm using that word transcode intentionally. It's not just translating the text.
What do you mean?
It's generating a Spanish podcast explaining the recruitment process or a Mandarin video walking through the platform.
That feels huge for accessibility. If I'm a developer in Buenos Aires and I see a video in native Spanish explaining how to get paid for code reviews, I'm much more likely to sign up.
Then if you have to parse through a block of English text, for sure, it effectively multiplies their total addressable market, their TAM, by 5 or 10 times overnight. And it handles the support burden, too.
How so?
Well, think about the candidate experience. Geektastic mentions these take-home challenges. You have to set up an IDE on your local machine to take the test.
Which is always a pain. I've done those.
Mm-hmm.
You always run into configuration errors. Library not found, path not set. It's just frustrating.
And every time a candidate gets stuck, they either quit, which is churn, or they email support, which is a cost. The auto content source suggests using faceless instructional videos here.
All right.
You generate a video of an AI avatar, a friendly guide, literally walking the candidate through the setup. Click here, type this, don't worry about that error message.
So for the cost of a few API credits, what, maybe €4?
Yeah.
You save the support team hours of answering the same, how do I install this email?
And you increase the completion rate of the tests. It's a better experience for the human candidate, powered entirely by the machine.
It's fascinating how these tools all connect, but I want to go back to that courtroom we started in, the paradox.
Right.
Geektastic sells human insight. Real humans review your code. They literally have testimonials saying things like, the human commentary gives us the perspective we don't get from computer-based testing.
And yet, here we are, proposing they use a computer-based content engine to run their business.
Yeah. Does that dilute the brand? If I'm buying human insight, do I lose trust if I find out the CEO's podcast update was generated by an AI? It feels a bit like cheating.
It's a valid concern. It sits right in that uncanny valley. But let's look at the voice cloning feature in auto content. The source says it can clone executive voices to create natural, steady, and believable audio.
So imagine the founders of Geektastic. They're busy people. They don't have time to record a weekly update for their clients.
But they could use their cloned voices to do it. They could feed a spreadsheet of weekly stats. We reviewed 500 Java challenges this week into the API and generate a personalized audio update for all their clients.
Is that leadership, though?
Yeah.
Or is it just a clever trick?
I'd argue it's about the allocation of cognitive load. What is Geektastic's core value? It's the code review. That is a high-context, high-skill task that requires a human brain.
Mm.
Recording a status update is a low-context, repetitive task.
So you're saying they should automate the grunt work of communication to save their energy for the actual product?
Exactly. The auto content source calls this the CEO paradox. Everyone wants to hear from the leader, but the leader has no time to speak. Voice cloning solves the availability problem. It allows the thoughts of the leader to scale even if the delivery is synthetic.
It's the Iron Man suit approach. The suit does the heavy lifting, but the human is still inside steering.
That's the ideal outcome. If Geektastic uses this correctly, they don't replace the humans. They give the humans superpowers. They use the server-constrained scale of AI to win on volume, SEO, marketing support, so they can win on quality with the human code reviews.
It really reframes the whole AI versus human debate. It's not a zero-sum game.
Not at all. In fact, if Geektastic ignores this, they risk being ground out by competitors who do use these tools. Mm. The auto content source makes a compelling point about server constrained scale versus human constrained scale.
Right. A human marketing team can only write so many blog posts a week. A server can generate thousands of podcasts an hour.
If Geektastic wants to win the search results for technical assessment, they need that volume. They can't win on volume with just humans alone. They have to win on volume with AI so they can win on quality with humans in the product.
So let's wrap this up. We started with a paradox: a human-centric company using an industrial AI engine. But what we've actually found is a symbiotic relationship.
We have. Geektastic has the gold, the success stories, the community, the expert knowledge. Auto content provides the trucks to move that gold around.
We talked about turning those text case studies into compelling videos to lower that time to hire pitch.
And we discussed engaging their 26,000 strong developer community with a deep research news podcast.
We looked at the SEO play dominating search results for every programming language by using multimedia to boost dwell time.
And we saw how it solves internal headaches, like reducing support tickets with automated explainer videos and expanding global reach with instant translation.
It really seems like for Geektastic, adopting auto content isn't about selling out to the machines. It's about leveraging the machines to make sure the human experts get the attention they deserve.
That's the takeaway. In a noisy world, the best product doesn't always win. The product that is understood wins. Auto content creates that understanding at scale.
It's a fascinating case study in how B2B companies can evolve. I do want to leave you with one final thought. We've talked about cloning voices and automating content. If a company like Geektastic automates 90% of its communication, the videos, the emails, the podcasts, does the 10% that remains truly human become more valuable? Or does it just get lost in all the noise?
That is the billion-dollar question.
Something to mull over. Thanks for listening to this deep dive into the intersection of human insight and AI automation. We'll catch you on the next one.